Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, locksmiths. Friend of the show and our Check the Locks Halloween episode co-host Jessica Gomez has written a dark thriller novel called Pieces of You. This creepy but emotional tale of grief, abduction, and murder is Mayor of Easttown meets Psycho, and it's perfect for all of you who love crime stories.
Nora Aberdeen, a grieving college dropout, ventures to a deteriorating small town to meet a blind date. On her drive home, a bloody young woman darts in front of her car, causing Nora to veer off the road and headfirst into a tree. When Nora regains consciousness, the woman is gone. Nora's estranged uncle, a sheriff's deputy, comes calling with information about a growing list of young women turning up dead in the small town of Woodbridge, including the woman who caused Nora's accident. The local police have written the women off as drug overdoses, but suspicious circumstances and the department's ineptitude point to something more nefarious. Unsure if she can trust the only family she has left, Nora tries to uncover the secrets of the missing young women and her connection to them when a strange motive unfurls. Will Nora uncover the truth before the killer claims another victim?
Pieces of You by Jessica Gomez releases October 1st. Pre-order as a hardcover, paperback, or ebook online at Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon, bookshop.org, or ask your local bookstore to order it for you. Sign up for Jessica's newsletter at writerjessicagomez.com and follow her on Instagram at writerjessicagomez for updates.
Hey, locksmiths, I'm Angel, host of the Modco podcast and fellow locksmith. The Modco podcast is a weekly podcast that talks about organization and entrepreneurship. We cover topics such as organizing your finances, avoiding burnout, mental health, and sharing the realness of being an entrepreneur. New episodes available on Wednesdays.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. You survived a hurricane. How are you? How are you feeling? How are you doing?
I survived Francine. Yep. Wednesday was kind of a rough day here in New Orleans, but everything turned out okay. I lost power from like 6:30 Wednesday night till about 10 Thursday morning. So not too bad. And thankfully I ran my air conditioning real cold all day Wednesday. So I started with a cooler house than, you know, if it would have gotten too hot, but no damage to my house. Some water kind of came in under the front door only because it was, you know, raining so hard and so windy, but we survived. We're doing good. And now we're just back to normal life.
Well, that is awesome. And I'm glad that you're okay. I know that's always weird. The apartment that I lived in Michigan, if it rained just hard enough, I had one of those like in the wall air conditioning units, mm-hmm. and it would just start running down the wall. And I was like, well, that's probably a little dangerous, but you know, it had to rain at like a certain angle and it had to be real strong, but it's like
just right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure when you're in a hurricane and then all of a sudden there's water pouring through the door, your first thought's like, what the hell? You know what I mean? Just go into panic mode a little bit.
Yeah. And it got, I mean, my street floods a little bit on like a normal rainstorm, and it got like all the way, like midway up my driveway. Like, so it went over like, you know, my yard is like normal. It has like the little chunk of grass by the street, the sidewalk, you know, and then my, you know, yard. And so it's like halfway up a normal sized driveway, which is, you know, more than it normally does. But thankfully we're all good. How are you? How was your week?
I'm good. I was definitely, you know, thinking about you because I was working and, you know, we had stuff going on through the week, but every once in a while I would just be like, hey, how you doing? Like, everything, you safe? You got power? Everything good? So, you know, touching base throughout just to make sure everything was good. And I know there were some people in the Facebook group that, you know, were concerned, wanted to make sure you were doing okay, but you told me you had spotty service because of the storm. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I don't want anybody thinking anything bad happened. So let me make sure. I'm like, yep, I'm like touching base. Everything's good. But we're just all, you know, glad that you're okay and it wasn't worse or as bad as it could have been. But yeah, this week has been good. Just working, and my sister was in town, which was nice. So we got to go, you know, eat dinner, and she got to spend time with the kiddo and stuff, which was good. And then just kind of hung out this weekend. So I'm a little stuffed up because, you know, the weather from Francine is blowing up. We're supposed to get a bunch of rain, but all it's really kind of done is like mess with my allergies a little bit. So if I'm stuffy in this one, I apologize, but all in all, it's been pretty good. I'm just, like I said, I'm just really glad that you're okay. There was no damage or anything like that. Cause I know, you know, as you're leading up to it, you got to be freaking out a little bit. Just be like, I hope it doesn't get as bad as it could get.
Yeah. And I think we recorded last Tuesday or on Tuesday before the storm. And it was kind of like, we only had a few days of notice that this thing was actually really coming. And then it was just going to be a category one. And I think it actually hit as a category two. So it did, you know, speed up a little bit. But this one just kind of formed in the Gulf, which doesn't normally happen. So kind of caught us all off guard, but it's over. Hopefully no more. We got a few more months left of hurricane season, and then maybe we can make it through without.
Oh, yeah. I know, I'm ready for tornado season to be done here, too. So it's just like, I just want that cool winter weather. You know what I mean? That
yeah, fall like, weather. Sadly, winter has to come, which I don't mind winter, but
winter is coming.
The winter is coming.
We're going full Game of Thrones. But well, again, glad that you're okay. And this week is actually your episode. And you had, because we had run into the issue recently where you're like, hey, have we done this one before? You sent me over the case that we were looking at. And I am not familiar with it at all. But as I was kind of skimming, it looks super interesting. So I'm really excited to hear more about it and to share it with the listeners. So what do you say? Should we just jump in, do the dang thing?
I think so.
Let's do it.
Emory, Texas is a small town just east of Dallas. The population in 2020 was about 1,300 people. And not much crime happens in Emory. The Caffeys were a typical suburban family. Terry and Penny were raising three children. 16-year-old daughter Erin, 15-year-old son Tyler, and little 8-year-old Matthew. The Caffeys were heavily involved in the church and its music program. Their mother, Penny, played the piano, Erin sang, and her younger brothers played the harmonica and guitar. The kids were homeschooled, and their father, Terry, was working towards becoming a pastor. In November 2007, Erin started working part-time at the local Sonic Drive-In. There she met 18-year-old Charlie Wilkinson. The two quickly became a couple. Erin had asked her parents if she could return to public school, to which they agreed, but now this made Charlie and Erin inseparable. Charlie was rougher around the edges and older. When Erin's grades began to drop, this was unsettling to Terry and Penny. They both had reservations about their daughter dating Charlie. The Caffeys noticed a change in her behavior. She became more rebellious and was missing her curfews. Now in February 2008, Terry was looking at Charlie's MySpace account. Did you have a MySpace? I feel like we've talked about this before.
Oh, I had a MySpace.
I think we all had a MySpace. Unless you were born after what year?
Oh, geez. I don't know. MySpace was still popular in 2004. I mean, I would say probably
most Gen Zers probably didn't have it.
Yeah, most Gen Zers probably didn't have it. I want to say like 2008 or 2009 is probably when Facebook, because for a while Facebook was really big, but you had to have a college email.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a semester of community college and I was like, I'm done. So, you know, forever I like wasn't able to use it. And then they opened it up to the public. So that was a couple of years after I graduated. So, but I remember the top 8 and everybody's like, oh, I'm doing like my top 15, my top 12. And I was like, no, it's a top 8. That's it.
Top 8. Yeah. I feel like we've had this conversation before.
It was so cool though. Cause I was in the band at that time. So we could put the music up and like, I just remember it being a game changer where you could go and, you know, if you knew the HTML code, you could make yours like different colors and stuff.
I wasn't really good at that, clearly, because I'm not really good with computers now, but mine was probably pretty pizzazzed if I had to remember correctly.
Well, you could find it online. You could go and find like the code and paste it in and be like, oh, okay, I want like a pink background or like a what, you know what I mean? Just drop the code in the description.
Drop the code in there. Yeah.
Which makes me wonder how many adults are now like into coding because they were like, I learned to do
MySpace coding.
Right. For sure. But I'm sorry, please. I went off on a little tangent there.
Well, like I was saying, in February 2008, Terry was looking at Charlie's MySpace account. And on the page, he had referenced underage drinking and some sexual activity. This was unsettling to him, as this is who his young daughter was dating. Worried Charlie was being a bad influence on Aaron, Penny and Terry talked with her about separating from Charlie. They were worried she would continue making poor decisions. Now this maddened Aaron. She was in love with Charlie. He had given her a promise ring that was his grandmother's, and they had talked about marriage. Now, a few days later, on March 1st, 2008, a tragedy would strike in small-town Emory. Late that night, two young males stormed into the Caffey home with a 22-gauge pistol and a samurai sword. Terry was awakened by the break-in, and he was face-to-face with two perpetrators. He was shot 5 times before they turned the gun on his wife. But then the gun jammed while attacking Penny. Terry watched as they used the sword to cut her throat, nearly decapitating her. Lying there in and out of consciousness, having sustained a total of 11 gunshots, he was unable to speak or move his right side. He knew that he'd be unable to get up and try to protect his children who slept upstairs. He heard little Matthew cry out, and at one point saying, "No, Charlie, no, why are you doing this?" Sadly, Matthew and Tyler would succumb to their injuries. The attackers ransacked the house before dousing it with gasoline and setting it ablaze. In and out of consciousness, Terry woke up to a burning home. He knew Penny was dead, and he lacked the strength to make it up the stairs as the house was already in flames. Terry was able to crawl out of the home close to his neighbor's house, who called 911, after seeing the house on fire and a wounded Terry. He was taken for emergent surgery in Tyler, Texas. Meanwhile, police quickly jumped into action. As the fire died, they were able to identify Penny, Tyler, and Matthew.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. so she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Miraculously, Terry survived his injuries. He was immediately able to tell police that one of the attackers was Charlie Wilkinson. He told detectives that he recognized his voice and recalled his son Matthew asking Charlie why he was hurting them. Wilkinson was tracked down by police at his brother's trailer. To their surprise, Erin was also there. She appeared to be in shock and told police she had been kidnapped. Investigators were also quick to identify the other attacker. Now, Emory again is only about 1,300 people, and so they identified Charles Wade. Charlie and Charles were brought in for questioning, and the two young men told the same story. Erin was upset that her parents didn't want her and Charlie to be together. She had plotted for the two men to murder her parents, and in return, she and Charlie could be together, and she would have them steal $2,000 from the house. Now, Charlie told detectives that he encouraged Erin to just run away, but she didn't feel that that would be enough. On the night of the murders, Wilkinson, Wade, and Wade's girlfriend, Bobby Johnson, pulled up to the Caffey house. Erin ran outside in her pajamas. When she was greeted, Wilkinson told Erin that he would have to kill her younger brothers so there would be no witnesses. Wilkinson said, Erin replied, "I don't care, just do what you gotta do." Erin and Johnson waited in the car while the two men brutally murdered the Caffey family. Meanwhile, Erin was being escorted to the hospital to visit her father. She was with her grandparents and police officers. While en route, police got notified that Erin was considered a suspect. She cried, stating she was innocent and had nothing to do with it. All four were ultimately charged with 3 counts of capital murder. The prosecution sought the death penalty for Wilkinson and Wade. Terry Caffey, the aspiring pastor, stepped in and asked for the death penalty to be taken off the table, as he believed in forgiveness. Terry wanted the young men to have a chance to find remorse. It took several months, but a plea deal was reached. In October 2008, Wilkinson and Wade were each sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. 3 months later, Aaron and Bobby Johnson pled guilty to murder. Johnson was sentenced to 2 40-year consecutive sentences. Aaron was given 2 consecutive life sentences plus 25 years. Now, Johnson will be eligible for parole in about 24 years, and Aaron will need to serve a minimum of 40 years before consideration. As for Terry Caffey, he admits to his struggles with depression and thoughts of suicide. He reports leaning on his faith to help guide him through such a tragedy. Aaron continues to maintain her innocence, claiming she tried to run away but was forced to wait in the car. Terry has maintained a relationship with Aaron and visits her regularly. He said, "I honestly believe she's not the mastermind. This was a vulnerable 16-year-old girl with a controlling psychopathic guy. I do forgive her. I have forgiven her." Now, Terry has since remarried and has 2 stepchildren. He spends his time focused on ministry and speaking engagements. He has released a book titled Terror by Night, and his goal is to help others who have suffered tremendous tragedy. So that's this week's episode, John.
Man, so before we, you know, kind of break it down, I do have to just talk about how much I admire Terry, because I imagine that, number one, it's probably so hard to get to a point where you can, I mean, even if it's your child, right? Like, they were involved in the murder of your entire family. Whether he believes that she's the mastermind or not, she was still involved, right?
Yeah, and like, so, attempted murder of him.
Yeah. Like, tried to kill you, killed her mother, killed her brothers. Like, everything that's important to you in the world is wiped away. Because, you know, even though Aaron's alive, she's going to be in prison. Like, everything is taken from you, right?
Yeah.
And then to not only be able to forgive, but then to turn your life into helping others who have gone through, you know, these crazy tragedies and things like that. Again, I'd like to think that that would be the kind of person I would be if something, heaven forbid, ever happened to me like that. But, you know, I don't know for sure. So it's really inspiring when you see people who have gone through these terrible things and they're still able to come out with a positive outlook and still use that as an opportunity to serve other people, you know? So I did want to say that, but this story is horrifying, dude. This scares the hell out of me.
I know this one will be high up there for you if I'm a betting woman. But, you know, as I was doing the research, there was, a lot of some of the details that I got is from Terry himself, you know, reliving that night and being aware as he could be. And he's struggled with, at one point he said that, you know, he had a whole plan to commit suicide, and he went out to where the house was, and where, cause it had burned to the ground. And so he was just standing out there, and out there, there was a crumbled up like piece of paper, like a page from a book. And it was a book that a friend had told him to read about that was dealing with a guy whose like family died in a tragedy. And with the little sentence that he was able to make out was, you know, something of very uplifting. And he was like, "No, like I have to be better, and I'm going to heal from this and like move on." And so, you know, he really honed in on his faith and continued to like try to be involved more in the church as far as him becoming a minister. But I just don't know. You know, there's been interviews with Aaron saying, you know, like she was just young and dumb, and, you know, she wouldn't have done that, and she was manipulated. And I mean, we've all been a 16-year-old rebelling against our parents when they didn't want us to date somebody. I mean, that's just kind of like what happens when you're a teenager. And so, I don't know. I kind of feel like it more so was her as a mastermind in this situation. Cause there's an ex-boyfriend who has mentioned like there was one time where she's like said she wanted her parents dead. So I just feel like she thought the easiest thing would be like, my parents just go and I can have it made. But then later Aaron will recount being like, you know, I wasn't starving. I had it made. My parents were great to me. Like, this shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how, I don't think this is like, a Gypsy Rose case. Like, I think guys obviously have some issues because they were able to like kill people, like brutally kill people. But I don't think it was as detailed as, and I don't think they were as dark. I think they were like, oh, we're going to do this. And again, we're going to get paid for it. And just being, you know, probably underprivileged teenage boys.
Yeah, for me, for example, I never dated anybody that my parents ever had an issue with when I was a teenager. But I do remember being a teenager and being like, this is the love of my life. And this is the person I'm supposed to be with. And there is, you know, nothing that's going to, you know, take us from one another. And, you know, it's unhealthy, you know, teenage stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I also wonder, you know, like what 14 or 15 year old kid hasn't been like, God, I wish my parents were dead. You know what I mean? Like, you're just at that age where you're like, I know everything. Nobody else knows anything. You know what I mean? Like, I just wish they were gone because then nobody would tell me what to do because I know everything anyway.
Right.
And so it's not weird for me.
Meaning that you probably mean that, but like, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, like my sister used to tell my mom all the time, like, I hate you. I hate you so much. And like, you know, my sister even then would do anything in the world for my mom. But it's just, you know, if there's that's hormones happened. Flowing.
Me and Trish are besties. And I'm sure I've told my mom I hated her a handful of times in a loud, heated argument when I was 14, 15, 16.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my sister pushed her button so much that one time she was like, yeah, well, I hate you too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just say stuff that you don't mean, you know? But it's hard for me because I don't know where it kind of fades for me, right? Is like, here are these two guys that he's already like, we're going to get married. You know what I mean? And obviously a bad influence on Aaron, right? And then they get caught. So it's hard. It's hard to say one way or another, like either she was the mastermind or they're saying that she was the mastermind. I definitely don't think that she was necessarily like trying to actively get away. But I think there's also an element too that when like you're 16, you don't really understand the way that the world works.
And what's about to happen, what the repercussions of what just happened are going to be. Like, sure, she probably panicked the minute they went in and started firing gunshots and knowing that her family was in there. So I'm sure there was an element of shock, but I don't, you know, the other three stuck to their story. It was like, this was her idea.
Yeah. And she could have very well have been the mastermind and very well kind of put it all together. I think when you're dealing with people of this age and it's like, well, I'm caught. And so I don't want to get all the blame, or I'm going to try to pass the blame off like wherever I can. It definitely, you know, seems like she was involved in a level that she should not have been involved in. But it's just, I think it is one of those things at 16. It's like, you don't realize you can do something stupid and what the effects are going to be forever. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we've done cases like that before where like kids have killed their best friend. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like,
you don't really realize.
Yeah.
What that means.
That person is not here anymore. And I've devastated their entire family. And, you know, and then I'm just thinking about like how terrifying it would be to be Terry. Like, you're shot. You can't move, but you're completely aware of what is going on. And you're seeing the woman that you love being murdered next to you. Like, you know me, like
this is your home invasion.
Home invasions, definitely. And then like fear that my child is going to be like a decent person when they grow up is like my other. I've talked a lot about it in therapy. Like, come on. Like, I just want her to be a good person. You know what I mean? So these are two where I'm just like, I'm deeply insecure and like terrified in both these. So it's definitely going to be it's higher there for me. But
well, if we're thinking deadbolt test, where are you going?
Oh, this is a 10 all day. Like I said, just sitting there and like imagining what he must have been thinking, and then to survive and then to find out that it was your child who is responsible for the death of your wife and your children. And like I said, like that's like my one thing. It's like I work so hard, and it's such like a big thing for me to make sure that I'm instilling the right values in my child so they grow up knowing what's important and what isn't. And, you know, they're young and they're already like and subscribe and, you know, making videos being like, welcome to my YouTube channel. And it's like, you just, you know, they're 6, 7, 8 years old. You just want to grab them and be like, that's not important. You know what I mean? Like that's, you know, now also like her dad does a podcast where he's like, listen to me talk. You know what I mean? So like, I understand it to an extent, but it's just also like, you know, you have to know what's important. And so the, yeah, like I said, these two things are just like, it induces anxiety. I feel my chest getting tighter and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a 10 for sure. What about you? Where are you putting it?
I'm not trying to give you a panic attack, but I knew you'd put it up there pretty high. I'm gonna put it up there about a 9. Like I'm pretty right there with you. You know, I just can't imagine being a young 16-year-old and being like, I hate my parents so much. And then your boyfriend just goes and murders your whole family. Like what? Like, I don't know. And I have fears of home invasions myself. And I worry about my children in this house, you know, like if an intruder came into my house, they would 100% shoot my dog. Because she barks so much. And that worries me and frightens me, just like anybody else that lives alone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like, you know, like no offense, Ellie is adorable, but she's also not like a ferocious guard dog. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, you've never walked in my house, John.
Yeah. But in all fairness, if she charged me, I could kick her across the room like a football. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like she's a great Dane. Or a German Shepherd that's like...
She's got the rage of a German Shepherd in a 25-pound body.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, I get... Yeah, I remember, like, Blink-182. I grew up... Like, there's some things about Aaron that I can relate to, where it does seem like her family was very involved in the church and very religious, and maybe...
She may not have felt that way.
Yeah. Or, you know, felt out of place there.
Yeah.
You know, I knew for me, like I love playing music. I was going to be in a band. Like I didn't care about homework. I always felt a little different than the other people in my family. And so I get that. I remember like I had a Blink-182 CD. It was their live record where it's all the swearing and everything like that. My mom heard me listening to it, was like, you cannot have that in my house. So we got into an argument and I like snapped it. I was like, fine, well, you just don't get it. And, like, you know, I get like the teenage angst part, but never was I ever like, this bitch deserves to die. You know what I mean? Like, I want to listen to this record, you know? So I don't know. There's some elements that I can relate to, and then it just goes so dark where it's, I don't know.
Like, I don't know how you get to that darkness. That's
The people who brought you into this world and are responsible for the fact that you were living and breathing.
For your well-being.
Yeah.
And like she said later, she's like, there was nothing wrong with my family.
Yeah, just crazy. And I wonder if there's any mental illness. You know, and there's got to be something.
Be something with any of them, somebody. I mean, there has to be some element of that with the two that actually committed the murder.
I mean, can you imagine what it takes to nearly decapitate someone with a samurai sword?
Probably a lot.
Like, there's some screws rattling around in there. You know what I mean? Like shooting somebody, it's like you pull the trigger, it's quick. You know, I think, you know, you would probably deal with ramifications of it for a long time after. You know what I mean? Like, there's people who kill other folks in self-defense and stuff, and it like messes you up, but it's quick. Where it's like, no, dog, I got a samurai sword. Like,
that's like murder movie type.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a good one. Like, I'm going to be thinking about this one for the next couple of days. I can tell you that. And like, I know, you know, when I'm getting the kid ready for school or, you know, doing tight homework there, I'm going to be looking at her being like, oh, you better not. Like, I'm watching you. You better not be getting any ideas. I don't know. I think every parent, especially when they're little, you just like, you worry about like what they're going to get into when they're older. And, you know, and you know, Millie's probably going to be a little nerd like I was. You know what I mean? Like,
Millie's going to be just fine.
Yeah. Oh, she's going to be great. But, you know, my hope is that she's running around in a cape and is like, I'm really into theater and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But you never know. You know what I mean? So I don't know. This is a good one. It messed my head up a little bit. Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's episode. I'm putting it at a definite 10. Olivia's coming in at a 9. But as always, we want to hear from you, the locksmiths, the listeners. Where does the murder of the Caffey family fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love to get to know you, spend a little bit of time with you. You know, just get to chillax a little bit with you virtually. So if you're interested in signing up for the Facebook group, coming and hanging out, there is a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. And Olivia, guess what? We announced that we had a phone number and we got our very first voicemail. Should we listen to what Mimi times 4 has to say?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Mimi of 4 just calling to hear what the voicemail said and tell you guys to keep doing what you're doing. I love listening to the podcast on Mondays and Thursdays. And keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Mimi times 4. I'm assuming that means you're a Mimi of 4 grandchildren, but I'm not going to speculate. But thank you so much. We got our first voicemail. People are calling our number. I'm so excited. But we don't have any reviews, so people need to leave us reviews too.
I know, and we're only a few short of 200 reviews, which is awesome. So if you haven't taken the time to leave us a review, definitely do that. But Mimi times 4, I think I know who you are. I appreciate you calling in, leaving that voicemail. Thank you so much for listening. If it's who I think it is, I know for a fact that they listen Monday and Thursday, like religiously. So really do appreciate you. We love you so much and thank you for the support. And we want to hear from you. So Olivia, we had mentioned those reviews. If someone wants to leave us a review, how can they do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app. Go to our show's homepage, scroll down where you see all 5 stars, click all 5 of them, make sure they highlight and light up, and leave us a little bit of love and tell us what you think about Check the Locks.
Yep. Olivia always says it best, so I don't have to. That's Apple Podcasts. Click the link, leave the review. If you need a shortcut, there is a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. And if you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, we would love to hear from you that way as well. We have an actual phone number. You can give us a call at 615-920-9393. Again, that is 615-920-9393. Call in, leave us a voicemail. We even have like a little voicemail message that we've recorded, Olivia and I. So give us a ring. Let us know what you think. Also, I wanted to give you an update. So, you know, I told you that, you know, this number that I had gotten for the podcast belonged to somebody else before and I was in that family's group message.
They wrote back and they listened to the podcast.
No, they didn't listen to the podcast, but I put in the message and was just like, hey, you guys seem like a wonderful family. Just want to let you know. They were like, oh, I knew eventually somebody was going to change their number. No one has kicked me out of this chat. So I found out that one of them is having a baby and posted some pictures of the sonogram. So congratulations. That's kind of awesome. Some of them are going as the Ghostbusters for Halloween with their families. So I guess I just live in this family chat from now on. So I will maybe just periodically give updates, but yeah, they're pretty awesome.
So throw them in some Check the Lock stuff so they know to listen to the podcast.
I just be like, hey, just so you guys know, I've talked about you on the last 2 episodes of the podcast, so thank you for letting me hang in
family now.
Yeah, so just come give it a listen, let us know what you think. But yeah, all that to say, we would love to hear from you, whether it's a review, you can leave a comment on Spotify as well. Or again, give us a call, 615-920-9393. Again, 615-920-9393. And if you like what we do here at Check the Locks, you want to help support us financially, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits. We got coffee mugs, t-shirts, plus you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, that's going to be patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. If you want to help us keep the lights on, throw us a few bones, we would greatly appreciate it. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and hanging out with us every week means just as much, if not more. So if that is you, you're listening and you are telling the people in your life to check out the podcast, just know that we appreciate you so very much. Again, that's how a podcast like ours grows, right? Is you listen and you tell people to check it out. They listen, so on, right? It's that grassroots. Hey, I'm listening to it because a friend told me to. So that's what's going to help us bring new listeners in the family, really expand our community. So if you're doing that, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.